Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
If I wasn't fired up before, I'm really mad about this next story. Really mad.
Well,
I know you're the calm one. Thank God. I'm the hysterical female, and you're the calm one. I only say that because some lady called in and called me that once.
You're like what they call a hysterical female.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I'm fairly hysterical today because there's a lot going on.
Well, people get fired up when it comes to taxes. And as an accountant told me 40 years ago, you want to pay every last penny you owe the IRS, but not a penny more.
Amen, brother.
And there's nothing wrong with that. You want to obey the law.
For sure.
Don't look good in stripes, right? Mm-hmm. Don't think I could do the show from jail.
I live in fear. That's why I get a refund, because I'm afraid of the IRS.
You should be paranoid. Mm-hmm. Everybody should be a little bit paranoid. But how is it Netflix, which earned $845 million last year, didn't pay a penny in tax here in the United States? They paid some tax overseas. It seems like some of the loopholes that we thought might go away with the new tax breaks, mm-hmm. the new tax bill that went into effect just last year, are still very much alive.
Very much alive.
And with us to help us decipher all this is Matthew Gardner. He is ITEP's senior fellow. ITEP is the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy. And Mr. Gardner wrote a story that made us do a triple take.
Yeah.
How in 2019... is this possible? Mr. Gardner, thank you for joining Jordana and me today.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
How did that happen? Matt, how did that happen? They made $845 million and didn't pay one penny in federal or state income tax. How?
Well, I think the short answer is the same way they did it before President Trump and Congress changed the tax laws. And that's the real headline to me. They used tax breaks for R&D credits, and there's a special tax break for companies that pay their executives in stock options. They used things that were completely legal that aren't very effective tax breaks and that should have been repealed as part of last year's tax bill. So there's no intimation that it's illegal, that they're breaking the law, that they're hiding their profits from tax collectors. It's just the same old story that it was a couple years ago. And, you know, what makes that unfortunate is that in the run-up to the big tax bill in 2017, a lot of people were excited, myself included, because everyone knew there were two things that were kind of unusual about our corporate taxes. One is that we had a really high corporate tax rate, 35%.
Compared to the rest of the world, right?
Yes. Compared to the other rest of the world. The other was that we were taxing maybe half of all profits, letting companies, on average, shelter half of their profits from paying any tax. So if you're paying an especially high tax rate on an especially narrow base, the thing to do as part of reform is first get rid of the loopholes and then see how much you can responsibly reduce the rate. Instead, what Congress did was to start with the easy part, cutting the rate as far as they possibly could, and really shortchange the hard part, which is looking at all these loopholes, trying to get rid of them. And that I think, is why we're seeing what we're seeing now. Nothing got better. And in fact, both from a budgetary perspective and from a tax fairness perspective, things seem to be even worse than they were before the tax bill was passed.
Matthew, you write, Netflix is one of 100 profitable Fortune 500 corporations that paid a 0% federal income tax rate in at least one profitable year between 2008 and 2015. So they aren't an anomaly. I mean, a lot of big corporations are effectively paying nothing in taxes some years, not all years, but some years, right?
That's correct. And the reason we did the study that you cite is to make exactly that point, that it's not a question of cherry picking, of identifying specific companies that everybody's mad at, although everybody is mad at Netflix right now for different reasons. You can look across economic sectors over time, over close to a decade in this case, and see that this is a systemic problem with our corporate tax rules. Companies from all over the economic spectrum, from manufacturing to healthcare to tech to retail, are finding ways to avoid paying income taxes despite being hugely profitable. In the case of Netflix, what we're talking about right now is $845 million of profits in 2018. That's as much profit as they earned in the U.S. in the previous 5 years put together. They are the picture of a healthy corporation from that perspective. And they're exactly the sort of company you would want to be following the letter of the law, paying this new 21% tax rate. And pretty clearly, under the rules as they exist right now, they don't have to worry about that tax so much.
But is this, does this have to do with double taxation and the fact that they were already taxed overseas, and so they can't be taxed a second time? This is where it kind of gets into the weeds. But again, I'm just shaking my head, wondering how this can happen.
It's a very good question, because double taxation was the language that was used misleadingly, I would add, by folks who wanted to cut corporate taxes before 2017. Double taxation was never a meaningful problem in that sense, because our rules before 2017, it wasn't you pay 35% of corporate taxes. If you're an international company, you pay 35% minus whatever you already paid to some other country. It was designed to avoid double taxation. But under our new rules, we're not really looking at foreign income at all. We're basically putting foreign income on one side of the fence and saying we're not touching it and just taxing U.S. income. And so this is a very clean look at how U.S. taxes apply to the U.S. profits of Netflix, which, as I said, is not at all.
We're speaking with Matt Gardner. He's a senior fellow at the Institute of Taxation and Economic Policy, ITAP. Matt, then this is really, it bothers me. It upsets me as a tax-paying citizen. And my husband has a startup. He pays taxes from his business. What do we need to do now as citizens to change this? I understand it's not illegal. They didn't do anything wrong, and nobody's accusing them of that. But the unfairness of this is a little too much for me to take as a private citizen. What do I need to go and tell my Congress people to lobby them to change so I can see a little more equity and fairness in the system?
I think what the message Congress needs to hear and the message that the Trump administration needs to hear is that they need to follow through on their promises and that they need to do their job. As I mentioned, I think they did the easy part by cutting the corporate tax rates. They've utterly avoided the question that needs to be asked about every one of a dozen different tax loopholes. Why are these here? Are they working? Are they worth what we pay for them? Congress failed to answer those questions, and they need to know that we know as citizens these tax breaks are still there. They're still benefiting a very small number of very large companies while offering nothing to us. That's the message they need to hear, is clean up the loopholes.
Were there promises to cut these exact loopholes that weren't kept to us?
The promises were less clear on the corporate tax side than on the individual tax side. As you know, the administration basically promised on the individual side that upper-income families would pay more, that the very richest Americans would pay more, a promise that was very clearly broken. On the corporate side, pretty clearly the main goal the administration had all along was cutting the rate. There was some language on loophole closing, but it never really shaped up to much. The betrayal is sort of the broader principles of tax reform. Any observer knew that these two things needed to happen together. You can't get rid of the loopholes unless you're doing something with the rates. Now that we've cut the rates so substantially, it's going to make it much harder to take away the tax breaks. So it's not a case of just dramatically broken promises. It's just a super incomplete view of what corporate tax reform meant. In the end, what Congress focused on very closely on the corporate side was not corporate tax reform. It was just corporate tax cuts.
Matthew, what are the implications? Because smaller businesses and individuals, consumers, have to pick up the slack. And what are the implications for our deficit and just funding the government?
That's exactly right. The concern before this tax bill was passed was that we were already facing big deficits. You know, we haven't balanced our budget as a nation since 1999, which means every year we're just piling on more and more red ink and shifting the cost towards future generations. At some point, that has to end. And the way it's going to end is either by hiking other taxes on everyone else. That means you and me and small businesses mostly, because we don't have the effective lobbyists that the big companies have. Or it means further cuts in public investments, less money on health care, on education, on transportation, all the areas that we all can look at and agree actually need more resources. And yes, less money for immigration enforcement, which Congress, many folks in Congress appear intent on funding more right now. You can't do it in the long run unless you have a tax system that generates the needed amount of revenues. And you simply cannot fund the needs of our nation going forward without requiring companies like Netflix and other Fortune 500 companies to pay a reasonable tax rate. I think 0%, most of us would agree, is not reasonable.
We agree, Matthew. Yes.
Jeez. Wow. Well, thank you for opening our eyes and providing some perspective. Matthew Gardner, a senior fellow at ITEP, which stands for, let me make sure I get this right, the
Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy.
Yes. One more acronym I memorize.
ITEP. You were great, Matthew. Thank you so much for the explanation. It really helped a lot.
Thanks for your time.
You got it.
Thank you, sir.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.